It is the final segment, even though I try to sell us short and push this show an hour into the future. I'm not Doc Brown. I don't have a DeLorean. I'm almost out of plutonium. So what do you say we lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and wrap things up with a little something we like to call the Richter Scale?
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad.
How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
That's right. It's the Richter Scale. It's how we end crunch time on Mondays by recapping the week that was with the biggest sporting events and news stories from the weekend, and we begin with the big one. Holy guacamole, what a weekend in baseball we had. Friday night's game three took 7 hours and 20 minutes and all 18 innings before Max Muncy walked things off. Later that same day, the Dodgers had a 4-1 lead in the seventh before Ryan Madsen gave up a three-run home run, and the Red Sox scored 9 of their runs in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. Followed up by Game 5 on Sunday, where we had Brad playoff Clayton Kershaw show up, and David Price, of all people, threw a gem, giving the Red Sox the World Series title. How was the weekend in baseball?
Well, you know, when you think about it, if I had to list, like, three of my most sports-hated teams in baseball, two of them made it to the World Series. But I'm able to shelve my pettiness and just an appreciation for what we witnessed. It's the World Series. It's what I think is one of the five greatest teams I've ever seen. That's a flat 10. No negotiating.
Beat LA. Pac-12 After Dark became Pac-12 All Day on Saturday, or After Dark All Day on Saturday. Must have been something to do with it being Hollow Weekend, as three major upsets were the story of the day. Cal didn't score an offensive touchdown, and they beat UW 12-10. OSU was down 31-3 to Colorado and won in overtime 41-34. Arizona comes out of nowhere to crush Oregon 44-15. How do you rate these upsets?
By the way, how about the Husky coach, Chris Peterson, deciding to sit Jake Browning? He brings in Jake Haener, who almost on cue throws a pick six that Evan Weaver takes house. But otherwise, with the Beavs getting a big win, upset, Oregon, 10-point favorite, got waxed at home. Washington State going down on the farm. I mean, it just, not to mention Arizona State going to USC and getting a big win.
Right.
I'll tell you what, when you consider what the standings look like 2 weeks ago and where they are now, that's mayhem. That's college football. I'm going to give that a 9.5.
Cleveland is cleaning house. Yesterday, the Cavs fired Ty Lue after they started 0-6. In 2010, the first time LeBron left Cleveland, the Cavs at least started 3-3, so this is especially bad. Officially starting tank season in Cleveland, and this morning, the Browns finally fired Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. Jackson has the second worst winning percentage of all time in the NFL at 205, which is highly inflated because of his 8-8 season with the Raiders. His winning percentage just in Cleveland is 0.088. He was somehow not fired after going 1-15. He was somehow not fired after going 0-16 the next year. And now, after two wins and a tie, the Browns are finally good enough for them to not be able to accept Hugh Jackson's horribleness. How impressive is it that Hugh Jackson kept his job for this long?
Yeah, you know, he must be like, you're firing me now? I went 0 for the season. It's kind of like the same mentality with OJ. It's like you let me get off for a double murder, and you're bothering me about hijacking some of my own memorabilia. I mean, the second best player for the Cleveland Cavaliers right now is Jetty Osman.
That's a fake person, Steve.
From Macedonia. So, what was the qualifier again? How do I rate Hugh Jackson getting fired?
Yeah, how impressive is it that Hugh Jackson kept his job for that long?
Oh, that's a 9. I mean, anybody. It's like the performance on the field, his decision-making, his schematic aptitude was like begging to get fired. And they're like, no, No. Now. So I'm going to give that a 9.
All right. The best NFL game of the weekend was Packers-Rams at LA Lambeau Field, if you get what I'm going with there. The Packers,
I gotcha.
All right. The Packers were going to get the ball back from the Rams with 2 minutes on the clock. Plenty of time for Aaron Rodgers to lead a game-winning drive until Ty Montgomery fumbled the kickoff. Todd Gurley had a chance to seal the win, the over, and the point spread, which ranged from anywhere from Rams -7 to -9. Instead, he stopped short at the 4. So how big of a mistake did Ty Montgomery make taking that kickoff out of the end zone?
Well, it's a double mistake. First of all, if your coach sends you out there with the option, you know, if you think you can bust it, you see an opening, take a chance, maybe you get us better field position. But you have 2 minutes left. You need a field goal. You've got a guy who is this side of Brady, is considered the greatest quarterback of his generation, and you're told don't run it out, but you do because you're angry because during the course of the game, things didn't go your way. I'm sorry, that's a 10, and I can't believe we haven't heard about, I don't know, about a suspension or a benching or a cut or whatever, but that's unacceptable. That's brutal.
All right, last one. Jameis Winston threw 4 picks in less than 3 full quarters against the Bungles before he was benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick, who brought back the Fitz magic, leading the Bucs from 34-19 down to tying the game at 34. And then the most improbable thing that's ever been written actually happened. Ryan Fitzpatrick left too much time on the clock for Andy Dalton and the Bengals before a game-winning field goal by Randy Bullock sealed the win. How done is Jameis Winston?
It's so funny because what he did by starting the season missing the first 3 games is like when a high jumper passes. I don't want to go yet. All right, I'll go now. Winston was like, now I want to lead the league in interceptions. I don't have to play the first game. I don't have to play the second game. I don't have to play the third game. All right, put me in
myself.
Now, coach. He is now tied for the NFL lead in picks. He threw 4 yesterday. Aside from Blake Bortles, he's got the most interceptions since he came into the league. Ironically, Eli Manning is 3rd. So what was the question again?
How done is Jameis?
Oh, you know what? I don't know that I'm willing to go a 10. If you tell me what he should be, he's probably a 10. But I would say he's probably about an 8.5. But it should be a 10. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And that wraps up the final Richter scale for October 2018.